Good morning. Today's scripture passage comes from the Gospel of Matthew and can be found on page 968 of the church Bibles. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who came before you." Thanks be to God for the word of the Lord today.
Let us pray. Lord, living God, speak to us clearly in the power of your word. May your spirit fall afresh upon each of us as we hear your word proclaimed. And may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength and the redemption of all who trust in you. Amen. Today we begin a new summer series from the Gospel of Matthew. Over the next several weeks, as Heather has already mentioned, we're going to take a close, intentional look at the first part of what has come to be called Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the part which might be known to some of us as the Beatitudes, the part of the Sermon on the Mount that Kylie has read for us this morning. Now, we're wondering who is paying attention during the children's talk time. What's a beatitude? Oh, well done indeed. Beatitude means blessing or supreme blessedness. Beatitude can mean you've got it good. Along with the Ten Commandments from the Hebrew Bible, we might claim that no other sayings have had as much impact on humanity as the Beatitudes, along with the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. Why? What is it about these Beatitudes that has spoken so clearly, so powerfully to people of faith throughout the ages? Well, in the words of the scholar and pastor Daryl Johnson, one of Heather's teachers at Regent College, he said, when the Beatitudes have been heard, when they've been taken seriously, when they've been taken to the heart, they result in a new way of living. The Beatitudes result in a new way of living. And some examples, some famous examples of this new way of living can be seen in people like Mother Teresa, for example. We know that Mother Teresa gave her whole adult life to the care and love for the poor, the destitute, those deemed to be untouchable in the slums of Calcutta in India. And her care and her love for the poor, she insisted time and again, was a direct result of these Beatitudes. We know the story of Nelson Mandela, don't we? Who was imprisoned, I think, for 27 years as a political criminal. And when he was released, he remarked that his ability to extend forgiveness, peace, reconciliation to his enemies was a direct result of these Beatitudes of Jesus. They showed him a better way. And we know the remarkable transformation that has occurred in South Africa over the years since Mandela's time. Or look at the life of Mahatma Gandhi. He once said, "Christ's Sermon on the Mount fills me with bliss. Even today, its sweet verses have even today the power to quench the agony of my soul." Gandhi said that. He wasn't even a Christian. And he said that about these Beatitudes, about the Sermon on the Mount. Or look at Martin Luther King Jr. MLK's whole philosophy of nonviolent civil disobedience was born out of his reading of these Beatitudes. We see how formative these words can become. And it's not just famous people. The Beatitudes of Jesus have served as a strong and sure foundation for the lives of countless women and countless women, men of faith. The Beatitudes of Jesus are a wellspring of wisdom from which we can draw our entire lives. These words, and it doesn't take very long to read them aloud or read them to ourselves, these words, but these Beatitudes, draw us into the very heart of what it means to follow in the way of Jesus Christ. So the Beatitudes are words of life to us. But we must be oh so careful about two possible errors, two possible mistakes that we can make when we read these beautiful verses from Matthew's gospel. The first thing we have to be on guard against is when we read through these Beatitudes, we will see that each one seems to set an exceedingly high bar for how Jesus wants us to live. And sometimes, if we are being completely honest, and I feel this way, it might seem like the bar that Jesus sets is far too high for anyone to reach. Am I poor in spirit? Am I meek? Am I merciful? Am I pure in heart? Wow. Because the bar seems so high, we might be tempted to idealize these Beatitudes and treat them as a way of life just for the spiritual elite, if even they qualify. That's one mistake we can make, to say that these Beatitudes are eternally out of reach, especially to people like us. The other mistake we can make when we read the Beatitudes is we might be tempted to treat them as a to-do list that we can work through to earn favor with God. We might treat them as a surefire way to salvation. If I can just be poor in spirit, I'm good to go. If I can just be a peacemaker, just this once, then I'll be God's child. If I can just be pure in heart, if only for a little while, then I'll see God. To put it another way, we can find ourselves quite easily being legalistic about the Beatitudes, treating each one as some sort of box that needs to be ticked before God will give us the time of day. And I cannot overstate how disastrous this way of thinking can be for our spiritual well-being. So, the Beatitudes should not be idealized on one hand, nor should they be legalized on the other. What then are we to take from these Beatitudes as a whole? I think we are to take from them a vision of what Daryl Johnson calls gospelized people. I think he made up that word, but I like it anyways. Gospelized people. Okay? That's what the Beatitudes are supposed to be about. But this raises what might seem like an obvious question. What's the gospel? What's the gospel? Now, this might seem like a no-brainer of a question, but I actually had to stop and think about it when I was preparing the sermon. What is the gospel? And for an answer, I had to turn to Mark's gospel, the first part, chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. Which tells us that after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. There it is. Proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The appointed time is fulfilled even. And the kingdom of God has drawn near. Repent and believe in the gospel. Those are Jesus' first words in the Gospel of Mark. Does anybody know what the word gospel literally means? Good news. That's right. So Jesus talks about the time fulfilled, the kingdom of God drawing near or is at hand. So the gospel is the announcement of a great eternal fact that God, the great divine intruder, is permeating, transforming, and redeeming our world. That's why the gospel is good news. The gospel is God's new order breaking into our broken and fallen world. The gospel tells us that a divine revolution is already underway and is continuing even today here in Chemnay. So the Beatitudes are all about this kind of gospelized people. People who are being changed, transformed, redeemed. And gospelized people become beatitude people. Gospelized people become beatitude people. Put it another way, when Jesus breaks the chains over our hearts, when the gospel takes hold of our lives, that is when the Beatitudes become evident in our lives. It is when Jesus claims us, when the Holy Spirit lives in us, that is when we become poor in spirit. That is when we become peacemakers. That is when we become sons and daughters of God. Take a look at your orders of service, if you would, please. Does anybody notice anything different on the order of service on this side, on the order of service? It's not a typo. Yes. Yes, Anne? Yes. And what do you see beneath that? And beneath that? Beneath that? Ah, there we go. It's more than just words. The Beatitudes are all about becoming gospelized people. The Beatitudes are all about God making us into the men and women and boys and girls that He wants us to be. The Beatitudes tell us that each and every one of us has beautiful God-given gifts, God-given callings to build the body of Christ in Kemne. And by the way, building the body of Christ doesn't just mean more bums in the chairs. It's much, much more than that, isn't it? It's about transforming lives, making people aware of God's presence and power in each and every day. The task of ministry is not just for people like me or Heather or Kylie. Each and every one of us has beautiful, essential gifts that can, should, and must be used. God wants to make each of us into a gospelized person, into a beatitude person. So our lives are not marked by the Beatitudes by our own efforts. I hope that's clear. By our own efforts, we will either idealize these Beatitudes or legalize them. By our own efforts, we will utterly distort what the Beatitudes are supposed to be all about. From start to finish, the Beatitudes are what result from a life claimed, redeemed, and empowered by the triune God. That's why Jesus can say that you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, Matthew 5:48. Now that seems like it's impossible. But Jesus isn't talking about a kind of perfection that comes from our own efforts. He's talking about what ultimately happens to gospelized people, to beatitude people. Because God is at work, and God's work will always be brought to full fruition. So the Beatitudes are not about our own efforts, nor are they out of reach. Rather, they are what happen when we, by grace, are brought into alignment with God's inbreaking kingdom. Once again, Daryl Johnson likes to talk about the Beatitudes as living right side up in an upside down world. I quite like that. And this brings me to the last major point I want to make this morning. That when we look at the Beatitudes, we will notice that all of the Beatitudes start with the same word. What word does each Beatitude start with? Say it again. Blessed. Very good. They were listening to you, Heather. So, blessed. The word beneath this word in Greek is the word makarios. We say that together. Makarios. I get a language lesson this morning, I know. Makarios. Makarios. Good. Now, this word can be translated as blessed. That's perfectly fine. Some translations also have it as happy. Anybody ever seen that before in the Sermon on the Mount? Right? So, but makarios has a much deeper meaning than that. It can also mean fortunate, approved, or even more loosely, it can mean congratulations. I'd like to see a Bible translation that has that in it. Or if you'll pardon an Americanism, makarios can also mean, in the words of Karl Barth, the great Swiss theologian, makarios can mean You lucky bums. You lucky bums. You have absolutely nothing to offer, but God can't wait to welcome you. That's what it means. Your pockets are empty. You have nothing to give. No problem. Come on in. You're less than perfect. You have sin in your life. You have faced pain, disappointment, doubts. You feel less than steady on your feet. Makarios. Welcome. Blessed, you lucky bums. Makarios says that we are loved. Loved in a way that we can hardly even begin to comprehend. Makarios tells us that we are loved in ways that will redeem each of us from the tip of our head to the bottom of our toes. Makarios is not about how we feel about ourselves. That changes minute by minute. Makarios is how God feels about us. And that never changes. Come on in, you lucky bums. I love you. So each of the Beatitudes starts with this powerful word, Makarios. Good news. God is on your side. God is for you. You are going to be gospelized. You are going to become a beatitude person. You are going to be made into a son, a daughter of the Most High. It's already happening. It's already underway. The Beatitudes reveal to us the character of the kingdom. They reveal God's ultimate aim for every follower of Jesus, to become like him. Because Jesus himself is the perfect embodiment of every one of these Beatitudes. And God wants to make each of us more into who we are, more into the likeness of Jesus. That's what this is all about. So over the next few weeks, as we look at each of these Beatitudes in greater detail, let us ask God to help each of us live anew into the character of his kingdom. Friends, fellow lucky bums, it's time to become gospelized people. May the Lord make it so. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.